بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والا وبعد. We left our discussion in the last session concerning that which was related to the hijrah of the companions رضوان الله عليهم to Habasha. You'll remember we discussed the fact that the companions, they made the migration to Habasha on the first occasion, and then there occurred that which caused them to believe that the people of Mecca had embraced, and so they returned to Mecca. When they returned to Mecca, they found that the khabar and that those narrations were actually incorrect, and that Ahlul Mecca had not embraced, and that they were still upon the kufr and the shirk of old. And in fact that their bughd and their hatred and their dislike for the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, that it had intensified. And so as we mentioned, some of them remained in Mecca, and they were given the protection or the oath and the promise of protection, while another set of the companions, they returned back to Habasha. And the number of those who returned to Habasha and returned back to Ethiopia were greater than the initial number who left in the first place. And we said the first of those who left initially and from their heads was Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu and his wife, the daughter of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ruqayya. As far as the second batch, then those who left with them, those who led them, or the one who led them, was Ja'far, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second migration, as we mentioned, it was followed, and this is an issue that some of the scholars of seerah and history, they discuss, and they come to slightly different conclusions because of the nature of the athar and the ahadith that discuss it, and that is the time period between the second group returning back to Habasha and the Islam of Hamza. Some hold that the Islam of Hamza was while they had returned, or while they were still in Mecca after returning after the first migration, while others hold and held that it occurred after they had left. That is, after the Muhajirun, who made the first migration to Habasha, returned to Mecca, and then they went back to Habasha, and it had left to go back to Habasha, it was then that the Islam of Hamza occurred. And there are many who hold that position, while others hold that the Islam of Hamza occurred while they were still in Mecca. There isn't anything that is categorical in terms of text, clear and categorical, indicating that it was any of those two. So the possibility is that it was one of them, at least. And in any case, the time period was relatively close, and the time between the Islam of Hamza and them returning and going back, and that it was in near proximity. And so it's difficult to conclude exactly which of those it was. Ahlul Ilm mention that after this great affair of Hamza radiallahu anhu embracing Islam, the Islam of Hamza itself and the story of the Islam of Hamza, which was an issue that we didn't mention last week and we mention it now, there is some difference of opinion among the scholars of hadith concerning whether or not the story of Hamza embracing is actually authentic. And a group from among Ahlul Ilm wal Hadith hold that it is not established because of the fact that the riwayat, or the riwaya that discusses it, is mursal. And there is a break between the tabi'i who narrates the hadith and the hadith itself, or the narration itself. It was narrated by Muhammad ibn Ka'b ibn al-Quradi. Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Quradi, it was a tabi'i, and it didn't meet the Prophet ﷺ, and so the narration has some inqita in it. It has some breaking in it. Though there are some three or four different asanid, different narrations, all of them being weak. And so the best and the stronger of the positions is that it is hasan. It is a narration that is supported by those other asanid, those other riwayat. A few days, in fact, some 3 days after the Islam of Hamza radiallahu anhu, we have the Islam, ikhwan, of one who, when he embraced, it changed the dynamics of that which was taking place with the believers in Mecca alongside the mushrikun. And that, ayyuhal ikhwa, was the embracing and the entering into Islam of Umar ibn al-Khattab al-Faruq radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu, it is mentioned that the Islam of Umar occurred some 3 days after the Islam of Hamza. And some hold that it was off the back of the Islam of Hamza that had an effect upon the Islam of Umar. Umar himself doesn't mention that, but the riwayat mentioned when after Hamza embraced, that Umar radiallahu anhu, an instance occurred. And again, looking at the riwayat and the versions of the narration is another issue as it relates to the Islam of Hamza that must be discussed, and that is that there are a number of versions of the story of how Umar radiallahu anhu actually embraced. Of course, the popular story is that he entered, or that he heard about him, his sister embracing, and her husband Sa'id ibn Zayd, who went to the house. He heard them reciting the Quran. Khabbab ibn al-Arat was present. That he entered, he slapped his sister and drew blood from the corner of her mouth. And he likewise harmed Sa'id. He attacked Sa'id. And then he sat back and was regretful about what he'd done. And so he listened to the Quran. He asked to read it. She said, "You can't read it unless you make wudu." He made wudu and he began to read the Quran, and he went to the Prophet ﷺ and embraced. Of course, that riwayah, ikhwan, is not established, it's not thabita, it's da'ifa. And though it is very well circulated and is widespread in the books of Sir, and you will almost not read a book of Sirah except that the story of the Islam of Umar is present within it, that story. But as we mentioned, ikhwan, that in fact that is probably the weakest of the versions of the embracing of Umar. There are some 4 versions of what actually happened with Umar radiallahu anhu embracing Islam. From those versions, there are those that are collected by Imam al-Tabarani, Mu'jam al-Awsat, by Al-Imam Hakim in Al-Mustadrak, and elsewhere. And so we mentioned from them, Abu Jahl. Another one of the versions is that Abu Jahl, he put out a challenge to the people of Mecca, and that is that he said that whomsoever could kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I will promise him 100 camels, between red and black camels. Yani 100 camels, a mixture of red and black camels. And I will give him 1,000 uqiyah, yani of gold. 1,000 uqiyah of gold, which is a weight and a measurement that was used to measure gold, similar to grams in our time. And he said, عَاجِلًا غَيْرْ عَاجِلٍ. I will give it to him immediately, and not, I won't delay it. I won't postpone it. And as soon as you kill him, and it is established that he is killed, then you will receive from me 100 camels, red and black, and you receive this amount of gold. And naturally, on the basis of that, a number of individuals had set out and embarked upon killing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to receive this jaizah, in order to receive the prize money. And so from them from those who prepared to do so was Umar radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he swore by Hubal that he would do so. And so he left carrying his sword, and when he was upon his path, after he had left out and began to journey towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard an individual saying that there is an eloquent man, رَجُلٌ فَصِيحٌ يَقُولُ أَوْ يَدْعُو إِلَى شَهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِنَّ اللَّهِ. That there is an eloquent man that calls to the shahada أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And so Umar, he said to himself, indeed, this is the one that I seek. This is the one that I seek. He said, then he passed by another individual who was by a sanam, who was by an idol, and there was one who was uttering some lines of poetry, and within those lines of poetry it mentioned that Ar-Rahman, that Allah, yani Ar-Rahman, أرسل إماما جاء بالإسلام بعد الكفر بالصلاة والزكاة والصيام والبر والصلاة والصلاة بالأرحام. That he heard a poet mentioning statements, the meaning of which was that Allah Azza wa Jalla sent an imam, sent a leader, and that leader has come with Islam, with the form of submission after a period of kufr, and that he had come with salah and zakah and siyam and birr, being righteous and dutiful, and with the joining of the bonds of kinship. And so he said, wallahi ma arahu illa an yurama bi. He said, so by Allah, I said, by Allah, I do not see except that he intends me, that is, the poet intends for me to hear this. He said, thumma marra bihatifin al-dimar. And then he passed by another individual as he continued to journey and travel towards finding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He passed by another individual, and that individual was making again some lines of poetry, and he heard him saying, "Anta nasiru din al-Islam." He heard the poet saying that you are one that has aided or that will aid the deen of al-Islam, الذي جاء به محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, after, or that which Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم came with, after Ibn Maryam, yani after Isa. And so Umar رضي الله عنه, he said, والله لقد علمت أنه أرادني. He said that by Allah, I knew that I was intended. He said, so that then he entered the house of his sister, and with them was Khabbab ibn al-Arat, and her husband Sa'id ibn Zayd, and he left from there finding the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or seeking the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he went to Dar al-Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam, and he pronounced his Islam. That is the second riwayah, second story, which is similarly a riwayah dhaifa. That is the third story, and that is that Umar radiallahu anhu, that he was in Jahiliyyah and he was a person of Khamar, and there are narrations that establish that he was a person that was given to drinking and debauchery, as were the people of Mecca generally. And that is not on the statement of myself, but the statement of Umar himself. Yani, not the statement of Abu Hakim speaking ill of Umar, but Umar radiallahu anhu informing about himself that he was an oppressor, and that he was one that would drink and was given to alcoholism and other than that. And he narrates concerning himself radiallahu anhu. And then in this story, he mentions, or this version of the riwaya, he mentions that in Jahiliyyah he was a person of khamar and used to love it and would drink it regularly. There is a narration concerning him being from those who were from the worst of those who would persecute the believers. And that there is a narration wherein he tied up a slave girl who had embraced Islam. And similarly that he tied up Sa'id ibn Zayd, the husband of his sister. Yani that he tied them up and tortured them and would persecute and punish them. Naam. And so he mentioned that he went out on an occasion intending to find his drinking companions, and he did not find anyone. And so he went out to find the khammar, which is the individual who is the was similar to the off license. Similar to the off license, the one who makes khamar and sells khamar. And so they would have a place or a stall where they would sell khamar after making khamar. And he was referred to as the khammar. And so he couldn't find him. And so he went to the Kaaba in order to make tawaf. And so he saw the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam qa'iman yusalli. He saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing in salah, standing in prayer between ruknain, between the two rukn, yani between the two corners, that is the Yemeni corner and the corner of the black stone, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordinarily would pray in front of the Kaaba. And so he went, and Umar himself, he went towards the Kaaba, yani from an angle that Prophet ﷺ couldn't see him. He went towards the Kaaba and hid behind the kiswa, and he hid behind the cloth that covered the Kaaba. And it wasn't like in our time where it's tight and it clings to the walls of the Kaaba. At that time, it was a covering that a person could go behind and stand behind and not be seen. So he went behind the kiswa, he went behind the covering of the Kaaba, in the direction or close to the direction of the hijr, or the direction of the maqam of Ibrahim, or the hijr, which is on the other, yani is where the semicircle wall is, and he began to walk inside, and it's a pace inside of the kiswa, until he came close to where the Prophet ﷺ was standing in salah. And so when he went over and close to where the Prophet ﷺ was standing in salah, hidden by the covering of the cloth of the Kaaba, he heard the Prophet ﷺ reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it was said concerning Umar that one of his characteristics was that he would respect eloquent speech, that he was one that honored and respected eloquent speech and would listen to it and would lend an ear to it. And so he heard the Prophet reciting the Quran while he made salah. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَ الْقُرْآنَ رَقَّ لَهُ قَلْبَهُ فَبَكَى. When he heard the Quran, his heart softened to it and he began to cry. And on the basis of that, it was the beginning, or it was what caused him to enter Islam. And so when he left, that is when the Prophet ﷺ left, he followed him until he came to the house of Al-Abbas, and then to the house of Ibn Azhar, from the companions from the relatives of the Prophet ﷺ. فَلَمَّا أَحَسَّ بِهِ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عرفة قال ما جاء بك يا ابن الخطاب. When he realized that Umar was following him, he said, what is it that has brought you, ya ibn al-Khattab, at this hour? What is it that brings you at this hour? And so Umar رضي الله عنه, he said, إني أؤمن بالله وبرسوله وبما جاء من عند الله. He said that indeed I believe in Allah and His Messenger and that which has come from Allah Azza wa Jal. فحمد الله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet ﷺ, he حمد الله, يعني he said الحمد لله وأثنى عليه, he praised Allah Azza wa Jal. ثم مسح صدره ودعا له بالثبات. And then he wiped his chest in the chest of Umar radiallahu anhu, and he made dua for al-thabat. He made dua that Allah Azza wa Jal keep him firm. He made dua that Allah keep him firm. And then the final narration, since that narration is similarly weak, the final narration is a narration that has in it, or that mentions that Umar radiallahu anhu, he went out from his home to head towards the masjid, yani towards the Kaaba, fulfilling some of the errands related to his house. And on that night, it was a dark night, and so he went towards the Kaaba, and he had entered inside the astar, inside the covering of the Kaaba, when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming towards the Kaaba. وَأَعْلَنَ بِصَلَاتِهِ, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made salah, and he made the salah loud. Yani he uttered and made the salah audible. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made salah, ما شاء الله ثم انصرف. He made salah for as long as Allah Azza wa Jal willed, and then he turned away. And so سَمِعَ عُمَرْ شَيْئًا لَمْ يَسْمَعُهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. He heard, that is, Umar heard that which he had never heard before. Yani from the Quran. And of course, ikhwan, as we mentioned previously, the origin with the people of Quraysh and with the mushrikun of Quraysh was that they turn anyone away from listening to it. They would deter anyone from listening to it. Don't listen because it is magic and you will be affected by it. So on that occasion, when it was just Umar radiallahu anhu, the presence of the Kaaba, and the Prophet ﷺ made salah, Umar radiallahu anhu, he listened, he paid attention to what the Prophet ﷺ was reciting, and he heard that which he had never heard before. And so he began to follow the Prophet ﷺ. And so when the Prophet realized he was being followed, he said, Man hadha? فَقَالَ Umar, Umar. And so Umar said, it is Umar. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Ya Umar, لَا تَتْرُكُنِي لَيْلًا وَلَا نَهَارًا. فَخَشْيَ أَنْ يَدْعُوَ عَلَيْهِ. He said that, oh Umar, indeed you do not leave me by day or by night. And so Umar feared that the Prophet ﷺ would make dua against him, and so he said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِنَّ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. فَقَالَ يَا عُمَرْ أَسْتُرْ. He said when after Umar had embraced and took shahada, he said, oh Umar, indeed, you should hide this, and you should conceal it. And then Umar, he responded, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ لَأَعْلِنَنَّهُ كَمَا أَعْلَنْتُ الشِّرْكِ. He said, by he who has sent you with the truth, I shall certainly proclaim it the same way that I proclaimed الشرك. So all of these narrations, each and every one of them, is weak and has weaknesses in the chains of narration. All of the stories concerning the Islam of Umar is weak. And so the scholars of hadith conclude that if there is anything that may be taken from all of those stories, as it is oftentimes the case with the scholars of hadith, that there may be an affair that is not established in and of itself in one particular hadith with an authentic chain of narration, neither can, because of the fact that they are all different occurrences, neither can they be established and neither can they support each other. But sometimes Ahlul Hadith will conclude from a number of instances that occur in a hadith that may be slightly weak, but there is something that is present within that hadith or within those ahadith that is a strain, or that is something that remains the same. That is, there is an element within the hadith that remains the same and is congruent throughout all of those narrations. And so they say, as Hafiz ibn Hajar and others mention, one thing that can be said is that the affair that caused and led to the Islam of Umar was him listening to the Qur'an and being affected by the Qur'an. Now, regardless of the various stories, as we mentioned, all of them being weak, one thing that is constant throughout all of them is the affair of Umar being affected by listening to the Quran. And so the best that may be said is that Umar was affected when he heard the book of Allah Azza wa Jal being recited, either by his sister or by the Prophet ﷺ himself, or by the husband of his sister. Either of or any of those scenarios may well have been the case, but of course we're not able to establish any of them because of the fact that all of those riwayat are riwayat that are za'ifa and that are weak. And so the affair then returns back to the fact that Umar radiallahu anhu, what may definitely be said is that he was affected by the recitation of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it was that caused him to embrace Islam. And so the authentic narrations that do occur, and there are some authentic narrations, they generally discuss that which happened after or immediately after Umar had embraced. As far as that, what caused Umar to embrace, yani that in terms of those narrations, and those narrations are not established as we've mentioned. But as far as after the embracing, or after Umar radiallahu anhu had entered into Islam, then we do have narrations that speak of and that discuss the affair after that period and after that time. Indeed, from those narrations, we have those narrations with the companions. They spoke of the reality and the nature of the embracing of Umar. After Umar embraced Islam, that their affairs changed. From those narrations, we have a narration of Abdullah ibn Umar and others who mention وَكَانَ مِنْ أَمْرِ عُمْرِ بْنِ خَطَّابِ أَنَّهُ خَرَجَ ذَاتَ لَيْلَ إِلَى الْكَعْبَةِ فَسَمِعَ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي فَسَمِعَ شَيْئًا لَمْ يَسْمَعْ مِثْلَهُ وَجَعَلَ يُعْجِبُ مِنْ تَأْلِيفِ الْقُرْآنِ فَوَقَعَ الْإِسْلَامُ فِي قَلْبِي. That is from the authentic narrations that indicate that what is most correct and what is most likely from those stories is that it was the fact that he heard the Prophet ﷺ reciting the Qur'an outside of the Kaaba and was amazed by that. That element of the story is something that is established, and so we know then that at the very least it was him hearing the Qur'an, and most likely the affair of him hearing the Qur'an from the Messenger himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. Similarly, from the narrations, from the ahadith, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made dua for Umar, or at least for one of the two. That is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Allahumma a'izz al-Islam bi ahabbi hadayn ar-rajulayn ilayk. Oh Allah, ennoble Islam by guiding the most beloved of the following two people to you, by Umar ibn al-Khattab or Amr ibn Hisham. Umar ibn al-Khattab or Amr ibn al-Hisham, who was Abu Jahl. And so the one who was most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal was Umar. Since it was as the companions Ridwan Allah alayhim held, it was off the back of the dua of the Messenger of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal responded to his dua and guided the most beloved of them to him, and that was Umar radiallahu anhu. Similarly, there occurs in a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam supplicated Allahumma a'izz al-Islam bi Umar ibn al-Khattab khasa. There is a narration that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua that Allah guide, or that Allah ennoble Islam and strengthen Islam by way of Umar specifically. And that is established that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that supplication. So after Umar radiallahu anhu had embraced, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or this was during, yani after the cause of his Islam, and if we remove the fact that we are not certain concerning which of those affairs it was, but after Islam had entered into his heart, he went to Darul Arqam, where the companions would gather with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and receive revelation and would be taught by the Prophet ﷺ. He went to Darul Arqam. When he went, there was a knock on the door, and of course the companions, and from them Hamza radiallahu anhu, who had embraced, they were present, And so someone had looked outside of the home and they said that indeed it is Umar. Indeed, it is Umar. And one of the narrations mentioned that it was Hamza that made the statement, that see what it is he wants. For indeed, if it is that he wants a problem, or if he wants trouble, then we shall certainly kill him. Then we shall certainly strike him with our swords. Naam. Hamza radiallahu anhu. And so when they answered the door, the Prophet ﷺ said, "I'zinu lahu," give permission for him to enter. Fadakhal, give permission for him to enter. And so he entered. When he entered, daraba Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sadrahu biyadihi 3 times. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he struck the chest of Umar 3 times, and he said, Allahumma akhrij ma fi sadri Umar min ghillin wa abdilhu imana. And so he said, O Allah, remove that which is in the chest of Umar from malice and rancor, and exchange it with iman. And he said that 3 times. And so upon that, Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Fakabbara Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ahlul bayti takbira, sumi'at bi'a'la Makkah. That the Prophet ﷺ and those who were present within the house, they made takbir that was heard a'la Makkah, in the upper parts of Makkah. And so Abu al-Arqam, and the father of al-Arqam, he came out and he was a blind man, and he said, O Allah, forgive my family other than Al-Arqam, because he has disbelieved. That is, Al-Arqam had disbelieved in the religion of Shirk. And so, Umar radiallahu anhu, after he embraced, he said, Ya Rasulullah, ala ma takhfi deenana wa nahnu ala al-haq, wa yuzhiru deenahum wa hum ala batil. He said, O Messenger of Allah, for what reason do we hide our deen, and we're upon the haqq, and they make their deen manifest, and they're upon batil. فَقَالَ يَا عُمَرْ إِنَّا قَلِيلٌ قَدْ رَأَيْتَ مَا لَقِينَا. He said, O Umar, indeed we are small in number, and you have seen what we have already received. And so Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ لَا يَبْقِي مَجْلِسٌ جَلَسْتُ فِيهِ بِالْكُفَرْ إِلَّا أَظْهَرْتُ فِيهِ الْإِيمَانِ. He said, by the one who has sent you with the truth, I will not sit in any gathering wherein there is kufr, except that I will pronounce and I will make clear my iman. And so Umar radiallahu anhu, he went out and he said, Ayyu Quraishin anqalu lil hadith. He said, who from Quraysh is the greatest in spreading news? And so it was said to him, and everybody has them, ikhwan. It was said to him, Jamil ibn Ma'mar al-Jumahi. It was said to him, Jamil ibn Ma'mar al-Jumahi. And so he went out to him, and Abdullah ibn Umar narrates the affair. He said, فَغَدَوْتُ. Then Umar, he said, غَدَوْتُ أَتْبَعُ أَثَرَ. And so he went out following him. And it is Jamil Ibn Ma'mar al-Jumahi. It is said concerning Tayyib, we'll mention it. He said, so I began to follow his footsteps. فَأَنْظُرْ مَا يَفْعَلْ وَأَنَا غُلَامْ. This is the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar, that I was following Umar. After that statement was made that Jamil ibn Ma'mar al-Jumahi was the one who spreads news the most, and the most rapidly and quickly, I began to follow him, because Umar left, and I began to follow and trace his footsteps, just to see what he would do. He said, and I was a young boy, but I a'qil kul ma ra'ayt. He said, but I could perceive everything I saw, and he was old enough to perceive what was happening. نعم. And so he went, and when he found Jamil, he said, أعلمت يا جميل أني قد أسلمت ودخلت في دين محمد. He said, do you know, ya Jamil, that I have embraced and I've entered into the religion of Muhammad? He said, فوالله ما راجعه حتى قام يجري يجر عفوا يجر رداءه وأتبعه عمر. He said, by Allah, he did not even return a word to him. He grabbed his rida, he grabbed his overgarment, and began to run towards Quraysh. And so Umar followed him. He said, فَأَتْبَعَهُ أَبِي حَتَّى إِذَا قَامَ عَلَى بَابِ الْمَسْجِدِ صَرَّخَ بِأَعْلَى سَوْتِهِ يَا مَعْشَرَ قُرَيْشِ وَهُمْ فِي أَنْدِيَتِهِمْ دخل أو حول الكعبة أَلَا إِنَّ عُمَرْ قَدْ صَبَى. He said, when he reached the masjid, he reached the Kaaba, he said, gathering of Quraysh, indeed Umar has saba'a. And we said this term, saba'a, it was a reference, a derogatory way of saying that he had embraced, and he's followed this deen of theirs. And so he said, وَيَقُولُ عُمَرْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِ كَذَبْ. He said, Umar behind him, said he has lied. وَلَكِنِّي قَدْ أَسْلَمْتُ. He said, but indeed I have embraced and I have submitted, يعني, to the Lord of all the world. وَشَهِدْتُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. He said, and I bear witness, I have borne witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. فَطَافَ بِالْبَيْتِ. And then he began to make tawaf around the Kaaba. ثم مر بقريش وهي تنتظره. Then he passed by Quraysh and they were waiting for him to come around. He said, فقال أبو جهل ابن هشام يزعم فلان أنك سبوت. He said, such and such has claimed that you've سبوت, that you followed this religion, you've taken upon the religion of Muhammad. فقال عمر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. فثاروا عليه ووثب المشركون إليه ووثب على عتبه. He said, as soon as he made that statement, all of them pounced upon him. And as some of the narrations mentioned, that they pounced upon him with the pouncing of one man. All of them jumped upon him. فبارك عليه وجعل يضربه. All of them pounced upon him and began to beat him. Umar began to beat him. He said, وأدخل أسبعه في أذنيه وجعل عتب يصيح فتنحى الناس فقال عمر وجعل لا يدنو منه أحد إلا أخذ بشريف ممن دنا منه. He said that, and as occurred in some of the riwayat, when they began to beat him, he began to retaliate. And some narrations mention that the fighting continued through the day, that he was beating them and they were beating him. Naam, until Asr. One of the authentic narrations mentioned until Asr. Naam. He said, so they, naam. فما برح يقاتلهم ويقاتلونه حتى قامت الشمس على رؤوسهم. So they continued to do so. He was beating them and they beat him until the sun was away above them. And that, well, that narration would indicate ظهر. Yani that time would indicate ظهر. نعم. وطلح ففعل فقام على رأسه. And so they had beat him down and then they stood over his head. And so when they were over him, he said, اِفْعَلُوا مَا بَدَى لَكُمْ. He said, do what you will. Do whatever you wish. فَأَحْلِفُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ لَوْ قَدْ كُنَّا 300 رَجُلٍ أو نعم لَوْ كُنَّا 300 رَجُلٍ لَقَدْ تَرَكْنَاهَا لَكُمْ أو تَرَكُوهَا لَنَا قال فبينهم على ذلك إذ أقبل شيخ من قريش عليه حلة حبرة وقميص موسى حتى وقف عليه فقال ما شأنكم؟ قالوا سبع عمر. فقال فما رجل اختار لنفسه أمرا فماذا تريدون؟ He said so. They continued to do so. And Umar رضي الله عنه, he said that if it were that we were 300, yani that it were 300 of you, that we would continue with you as you continue with us. And that continued until a man came along, an individual from the shuyukh of Quraysh, yani from the elderly men of Quraysh, and he was wearing a beautiful cloak, and he said, فَوَقَفَ عَلَيْهِ فَقَالَ مَا شَأْنُكُمْ. And so he stood over him and said, What is the issue? What is happening? What is the problem? And so they said that indeed Umar سَبَأَ, yani Umar has followed this religion. And so he said, مَا. And مَا was a statement, an utterance that the Arab used to mention, an Arab statement of displeasure. It was similar to a tot, or yani a statement of displeasure, as occurred when the Prophet ﷺ was with in the presence of Aisha radiallahu anha, and one of the companions of Aisha, a female, she came and Aisha began to praise her, and she said, O Messenger of Allah, verily this is such and such, and she does such and such and such and such from deeds. Yani they were that which the Prophet ﷺ saw to be overboard, that she was overboard in carrying out some of the acts of worship. So the Prophet ﷺ said, ma عليكم من الأعمال ما تطيقون. He said, ma, the same statement, which is a statement of displeasure, dislike. He said, cling to the actions that you're able, yani the actions you're able to carry out and remain consistent upon. So the man, he said, ma رجل اختار لنفسه أمرا ماذا تريدون. A man has chosen an affair for himself. What is it that you want? أَتُرِيدُ بَنِي عَمْرُ بَنِي عَدِي بْنِ كَعَبْ يُسْلِمُونَ لَكُمْ صَاحِبُهُمْ هَكَذَا. He said, do you want that Banu Adi? That is the tribe of Adi, which is the tribe or the strain of Quraysh that Umar رضي الله عنه was affiliated to. He said, well, do you wish that Bani Adi ibn Ka'ab, that they come and collect their fellow kinsman in this state? They come and collect him like this? Yani because it will be trouble. It will be trouble. The tribesmen won't settle and won't be happy with that. And so they said, Wallahi, na'am. He said, خلوا عن الرجل. خلوا عن الرجل. Leave him, leave the man. And so he said, Wallahi, لَكَأَنَّمَا كَانُوا ثَوْبًا كَشَطَ عَنْهُ. He said it was as though there was a garment that was lifted and removed from him. وَكَانَ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ الْعَاسِ بْنِ وَائِلِ السَّهْمِ. That this man was Al-Aas ibn Wa'il al-Sahmi. نعم قال فبينما هو في دار في الدار خائفا على نفسه إذ جاءه العاص بن وائل السهمي أبو عمر عليه حلة وهو من بني سهم هلفاء بني عدي في الجاهلية فقال ما بالك يا ابن الخطاب؟ قال زعم قومك أنهم سيقتلونني إن أسلمت. قال العاص لا سبيل إليك. فما عدا بعد أن قالها أمنت علي. فقال عبد الله بن عمر واجتمع الناس عند داره فقالوا سبع عمر وأنا غلام فوق ظهر بيتي وكان ابن 5 سنين. فخرج عمر والعاص فلقي الناس قد سال بهم الوادي فقال أين تريدون؟
فقال نريد هذا ابن الخطاب الذي صبع. قال قد صبع عمر، ما ذاك؟ فأنا له جار لا سبيل إلي، فارجعوا. فكر الناس أو ففكر الناس، قال ابن عمر، فرأيت الناس تصدعوا عنه فعجبت من عزه. نعم.
He mentioned, so Al-As, when Umar returned back to his home, he was afraid. And so Al-As ibn Wa'il, he returned, or he came to his house, Abu Amr, he came to his house wearing the same robe that he wore, and he was from Banu Saham, and they were those who had a pact with Banu Adi in Jahiliyyah. He said, what is your state, O Ibn al-Khattab? He said, your people claim that they are looking to kill me if I embrace, or since I embraced. And so Al-As, he said, they have no way of getting to you. They have no way of getting to you. And he said, فَمَا عَدَى بَعْدَ أَنْ قَالَهَا. He said, and after he made that statement, Umar, يعني he was, or he felt safe and was tranquil. Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, وَاجْتَمَعَ النَّاسِ عَلَيْ عَنْدَ دَارِهِ. He said, so the people began to gather at the house of Umar. And he mentioned, and I was a young boy on top of the house. He was 5 years old at the time. He said, and so Umar came out with Al-As. And they found the people, وَقَدْ سَالَ بِهِمُ الْوَادِي. That is, they came down towards the house of Umar from the valley, which indicates that all of them were seeking the house of Umar. And so they said, he said, that is Al-As, he said to them, أَيْنَ تُرِيدُونَ. Where are you intending to go? And so they said that we intend Ibn al-Khattab, the one who has Saba'a. He said, قَدْ سَبَعَ عُمَرْ فَمَا ذَاكْ. He said, yes, he has Saba'a, so and so what. And so they said, he continued, فَأَنَا لَهُ جَارْ لَا سَبِيلَ إِلَيْهِ. He said, I give him the pledge of security. You have no path and no way of getting to him. So return. And so the people began to think. And Ibn Umar, he said, so I saw those people leaving, and I was amazed at the power that he had. Yani that Al-As was respected, he was honored and respected. And so on the basis of that, Al-As gave Umar Jar, that is, that he gave him this pledge of security. And they were unable to harm Umar on the basis of it. وَأَتْبَعَ الْمَجَالِسَ الَّتِي كَانَ يُجَالِسُ فِيهَا فَيَظْهَرُ الْإِيمَانِ ثُمَّ انْصَرَفَ إِلَى النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَهُوَ ظَاهِرٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. He said, and I would follow the sittings that Umar used to have, and he would pronounce his Islam. He said, and then he would return to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم وَهُوَ ظَاهِرٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. When he was manifest over the people, that is, that he was not hiding, or he didn't hide his Islam from anyone. He said, مَا عَلَيْكَ بِأَبِي وَأُمِّي وَاللَّهِ مَا بَقِيَ مَجْلِسٍ كُنْتُ أَجْلِسُ فِيهِ بِالْكُفْرِ إِلَّا أَظْهَرْتُ فِيهِ الْإِيمَانِ. He said, indeed, you have no need to worry. May my mother and father be ransomed for you. For there is not a sitting that I used to sit in from the sittings of kufr, except that I have made iman manifest within it, without any fear and without without being perturbed. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came out, wa kharaja Umar amama wa Hamza. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out, and Umar was in front of him, and Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib, hatta tafa bil bayt. وصلى الظهر مؤمنا أو مؤمنا عفوا مؤمنا ثم انصرف إلى دار الأرقم ومعه عمر وحده ثم انصرف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, so they went in front of the Kaaba with Umar and with Hamza. They made tawaf around the Kaaba, and they made dhuhr, and they did so in peace and security. And then they returned to the house of Al-Arqam, and with him was Umar alone. And then
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned and left by himself. And so thereon after, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, ما زلنا أعزة منذ أسلم عمر. He said that indeed we did not cease being أعزة, being noble and strong since عمر رضي الله عنه embraced. وكان يقول لقد رأيتنا وما نستطيع أن نصلي بالبيت حتى أسلم عمر. He said that indeed I remember and I would, I remember a time when we were not able to pray in front of the bait, in front of the Kaaba, until Umar embraced. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَ عُمَرْ قَاتَلَهُمْ حَتَّى تَرَكُونَا نُصَلِّي. And when Umar embraced, then indeed he fought against them until they left us to pray. He fought against them until they left us to pray. And so the embracing and the Islam of Umar was, as Ibn Umar and as Ibn Mas'ud and others mention, it was a fatih. It was indeed a great victory for the Muslimun, for the Mu'minun. Even though it was a great victory, and even though they derived strength from it, a group of the believers still remained in Habasha. And those who were present in Mecca, the persecution, the plight against the believers, though the persecution lightened for a period, it didn't stop. And the plight against the believers continued. And so after the embracing and after the Islam of Umar, the mushrikun of Quraysh moved on to another tactic. And we'll hear about that in the next session, inshaAllah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhir da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Naam. As far as Jamil ibn Ma'mar al-Jumahi is concerned, then he embraced Islam. Eventually, at the after the conquest of Mecca, he embraced Islam. Well, at that time it was easy to announce it. He embraced after the conquest of Mecca, and he eventually passed away during the Khilafah of Umar. And Umar was grieved by his death, because after his embracing, yani Umar loved him, and so he was greatly grieved by the death of Jamil Ibn Ma'mar, and inevitably they possibly would sit and look back at those early days and discuss them. And so he was greatly grieved at the death of Jamil Ibn Ma'mar al-Jumahi radiallahu anhu, who passed away during his khilafah. The fact that the Prophet ﷺ, the fact that there was a takbir made for the Islam of Umar, of course it was on the basis of the fact of who Umar was, and number two, it was something that returned back to the instance itself, and it is not said that this is what is to be done when a person embraces, because there were many who embraced after Umar, and there is no recollection or there's no documentation of this takbir because of the Islam of anyone else. And so na'am, they did make takbir, and that is established, but that does not now mean that this is a practice that is to be done with everyone who embraces. It is permissible to make takbir for someone embracing, but as far as that which we see occurring and that which we see taking place, narid takbir, and then everybody Allahu Akbar, and that is not something, ikhwan, that we found even when Umar embraced. What we found when Umar embraced, the Prophet ﷺ himself, he said Allahu Akbar, and everyone said Allahu Akbar.
There was no, everyone make takbir, and everyone embraced. Oh, everyone make takbir. La. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allahu Akbar. And it is permissible for something that is great, and for an affair that brings great joy and pleasure to the believers, to make takbir, or to say subhanallah, or alhamdulillah. Some of the narrations mention that he said, alhamdulillah, as opposed to takbir. And so we have both of those affairs present in those riwayat. Some of them mention takbir, some of them mention alhamdulillah. And so the affair then, na'am, it took place, but it is not something that has to be done or is to be carried out for every person who embraced. It is permissible to say so. And for example, a man may have a relative, a brother, a friend, a companion, or someone who was an enemy of him, and you wish to always an enemy of Islam, and then when he embraces, and you look at the journey that this man has been through, and you look at what he was and how he used to be, of course, ikhwan, any one of us would say, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Yani, look how Allah Azza wa Jal changes the heart, and turns the hearts, and guides the hearts. And so the takbir itself, ikhwan, is something that, na'am, it was said, but it is not said, ikhwan, that was a sunnah that is done with everyone that embraces, for indeed that would be present for every Islam or every person that embraces thereon after, and that is not the case. Allahu Ta'ala.